Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a Christian church with a worldwide reach and an intimate impact on lives through the provisions of our omnipotent God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of his many provisions is the blessing of the internet so that anyone with access can be reached with his word. We're based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Today's Bible lesson, the Lord's Supper. Jesus is the suffering servant. Today we celebrate the Lord's Supper, which is a remembrance meal, and we do this monthly. We eat by breaking bread, we drink by tasting the fruit of the vine, and we look back to the cross, a defining moment in the earthly life of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Many times when we suffer, we think there's something wrong. The truth? Not necessarily. We can all agree as Christians that tribulation is a regular part of our existence. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9 says this, "Resist Satan, God's enemy, standing firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren, other believers in Christ, who are in the world." Tribulation, adversity, suffering is a regular part of the experience of believers in Christ all over the globe. Yet the natural tendency when we are suffering is to ask ourselves if God is punishing us. There is a natural tendency to connect our sins to suffering. We reason that since we have been committing personal sins as believers in Christ, why shouldn't we suffer? It's only natural that God would make us suffer for our sins. Logical, perhaps, but not true. Simply the human view of things. Looking at the situation through God's eyes, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, "The Lord Jesus Christ himself bore our sins in his own body on the cross so that we might die to the sovereignty of sin and so that we might live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed." The Lord's suffering healed us. The Lord bore our sins, paid for our sins, took our sin problem out of the way so that there should not be the automatic thought that suffering connects to our sins. Our Lord suffered as well, yet not at all because of sin. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says this, "We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things, just as we are, yet without sin." The Lord's suffering was voluntary. He loved us so much that he chose to do something for us that only he could do. He suffered the worst death in all of human history, crucifixion, to demonstrate his love for us, so that we would clearly see his love in action. He became for us the suffering servant. All of us suffer. All of us see those we love suffer. Suffering does not mean that things have gone wrong. The Lord has fully taken part in our suffering. What's the worst suffering that anyone could ever endure? Whatever that happens to be, the Lord's suffering was worse. Today, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we'll get to see the power suffering brings to our lives by seeing the amazing benefits the Lord's suffering accomplished for us. Welcome to a place where you can learn about the Lord Jesus Christ and all he is willing to do for you. Let's begin the lesson by worshiping in song. The opening song being sung by June Murphy is "When You Suffer."
Thank you. If the world comes to hate you, remember it hated me first. I came to seek and save the lost, not to condemn or hurt. If you are persecuted, you should not consider it strange. Remember what I've done on the cross, my perspective you can gain. When you suffer, suffer for my name, consider it an honor. Do not complain, just remember what I've done on the cross. You can pick up your cross too. Think on these things when you suffer, when you suffer. When you stand in the truth of God, enemies you will gain. Learn not to take it personally, for at me they're taking aim. So chalk it up as part of the price you pay for being mine. You can become an overcomer when your power source is divine. When you suffer, suffer for my name, consider it an honor. Do not complain, just remember what I've done on the cross. You can pick up your cross too. Think on these things when you suffer, when you suffer. Remember, as a lamb led to slaughter, I did not open my mouth. I was silent before my shearers. Let there be no doubt that I was separated from my Father for 3 dark hours on the cross. Do not forget the privilege of counting the cost. When you suffer, suffer for my name, consider it an honor. Do not complain, just remember what I've done on the cross. You can pick up your cross too. Think on these things when you suffer, when you suffer.
Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Father, thank you for making it clear that suffering is a normal part of the battle of the Christian way of life. As we suffer, we do right to seek you and your word for our sustenance in times of trouble. Today we bow our heads and we bend our knees and we seek your face. We relish your thoughts. We seek your guidance and we thank you that you are always there for us. Help us make sense out of the suffering we experience, the confusion, the ridicule, the despair, and the hopelessness. Give us the wisdom to use God the Holy Spirit's power, just as your Son did at the cross. Help us to see how insidious Satan's disruptions can be. Remind us of your Son's sufferings so that we can be sure that the Lord knows what we are going through. Soothe us and encourage us and strengthen us in the face of our daily adversities. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Today's Bible lesson, the Lord's Supper. Jesus is the suffering servant. Jesus is the suffering servant. Now let's begin the lesson by taking the offering. I'd like you to join me in welcoming up Deacon Denny Goodall. Was that a monkey or a dog?
Thanks, June. Good morning. I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church. And it's funny because Pastor nailed it. The recent studies caused me to reflect on my past and how I dealt with suffering and adversity as well. And he nailed it. It was two things. It was adversity and prosperity. And when you were in one, the other one was way far away. And you definitely didn't consider it an honor when you were in adversity. You know, and then as our learning progressed, we learned that suffering was for blessing. And it would seem that suffering was something we knew we had to take part in, but we didn't necessarily like it anymore. And now we're learning that suffering is blessing. So really, there wasn't no difference. They were together. So really, you know, giving at the offering is not suffering. It's a blessing. And it's really an honor. It's considered an honor because you're worshiping God. It's no small thing to give of your time, your talent, and your treasure. Because he understands you're understanding that it's about others and not just yourself. And that's not always easy in this life. And the current studies helped me to really understand 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, much more. Because in suffering, we need to rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So as we're going through suffering, that's why we have this prayer group. So we do pray without ceasing. That didn't make sense to me early on, because God's so perfect, you don't need to keep praying to him. But now we're seeing that everybody is going through a lot of stuff in their life. Every family has issues. Every person has issues. And we need to help those people. And that's why I used to just hate Facebook. And I got rid of it. But with the prayer ministry that we have on there, it's amazing. It's a great tool. And I really love it because it's an opportunity to voice the concerns you have with your life and let people in on your life and let them help you. And that's what we do here at church, is we're opening up to each other, and pastors opening up God to our eyes to God. And I just thank him so much for that. So thank you for your continued giving. And just remember to rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So thank you.
come to love that song. Today's Bible lesson, the Lord's Supper. Jesus is the suffering servant. Human history was created to resolve a conflict between the Lord Jesus Christ, our God, and Satan, his enemy. Yet we live in a world where people join hands and rock back and forth and sing the John Lennon song, "All we are saying is give peace a chance." Yet the Lord says something very different in his word about peace. Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 3, "Thus says the Lord God, woe to the foolish prophets who are following their own spirit and have seen nothing." See, false teachers say false things. Verses 10 and 11, "It is definitely because they have misled my people by saying peace when there is no peace. And when anyone builds a wall, behold, they plaster it over with whitewash. So tell those who plaster it over with whitewash that it will fall." Many people live their lives that way. They plaster over their lives with whitewash. They live an image. False teachers disguise the serious cracks in their message with whitewash. The Lord says something very different about peace. Matthew chapter 24, verse 6, he says, "You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See to it that you're not frightened, for those things must take place. But that is not yet the end." Warfare and its associated sufferings are a very real part of our day-to-day experience in the world. Soul warfare is one such form of conflict. The battle that goes on every day in our souls is the source of much suffering. And our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, suffered the exact same spiritual warfare. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. The creator-creature conflict in play and played out beautifully by our Lord and Savior. Matthew 4:1, "Then Jesus was led up by God the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. God the Holy Spirit leads us, and he puts us in position to suffer. He puts us in position right in the midst of the battle." Matthew 4:2, "And after the Lord had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry." God the Holy Spirit puts us in a position for suffering when we are at our worst, so that we know that it's not us that is going to get us out of the situation, but that we have to count on him. Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, "And the tempter, Satan, came and said to Jesus, 'If you are the Son of God,'" first class condition if in the Greek, if and it's true, "'if you are the Son of God,' and of course you are, 'command that these stones become bread.'" Satan wanted the Lord to listen to him. Much like when our flesh talks to us, the flesh wants us to listen to it instead of listening to God. Matthew 4:4, "But Jesus answered and says, 'It is written, man shall not live on bread alone.'" Man shall not live on physical food alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, not you, Satan. You see, we suffer when we listen to false teachers, and we suffer when we heed the wrong instruction. Matthew 4:5, "Then the devil took Jesus into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple." Matthew 4:6, "And the devil said to Jesus, 'If you are the Son of God,'" and of course you are, first class condition if in the Greek, "'throw yourself down, for it is written, God the Father will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Matthew 4:7, "Jesus said to him, 'On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" We suffer when we take Scripture out of context. We suffer when we use the Bible against ourselves. Matthew 4:8. "Again, the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory." Satan was about to make the Lord a legitimate offer, the legitimate offer of all the kingdoms in the world, because planet Earth is Satan's kingdom. Matthew 4:9, "And the devil said to Jesus, 'All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me.'" Now, Satan is a liar and the father of all lies. We suffer when we believe Satan's lies and when we implement them in our lives as if they are true. Matthew 4:10. Then Jesus said to him, "Go, Satan, be gone, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Matthew 4:11, then the devil left Jesus, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him, suffering to glory. But it all started with the creator-creature conflict, the reason human history exists. Because of Satan, what was a perfect world is now in conflict, and suffering is part of that conflict. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 12 say this: "Be strong in union with the Lord and in the strength of his might." Ephesians 6:11, "Pick up and put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil." Ephesians 6:12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood." Our struggle is not against humans. Often we think it is. Our struggle is against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. The devil and some of his fallen angels are in the courtroom of the Supreme Court of Heaven pleading their case in the appeal trial of the creator-creature conflict. They have accused the Lord of being unfair and unloving, and they will not win. And so they are accusing the Lord of the same things in our soul, and we handle that suffering by using God's armor, not our own. Pick up and put on the full armor of God. Not pick up and put on the full armor of Mike. Not pick up and put on the full armor of Debbie. Not pick up and put on the full armor of Pastor Rory. But pick up and put on the full armor of God. Why? So that we can stand fast in the face of suffering. Well, let's enjoy the elements of the Lord's Supper, and then we'll learn more about the suffering servant. Are you going to give us a little early music day? That's pretty cool. So let's enjoy the Lord's Supper elements. Following God's request, we keep on celebrating Christ and his cross on a regular basis. Regular for us is monthly, on the second Sunday of every month. And we eat to remember who he is, his person. We drink to remember his work, which is the voluntary sacrifice that he made at the cross on our behalf as our substitute, and we are grateful for what God has done for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 says, "I, Paul, received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread." 1 Corinthians 11:24. "And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'This is and keeps on being my body, which is broken for you. Keep on doing this celebration for the purpose of remembering me.'" When we eat the bread during the Lord's Supper celebration, we remember the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we drink the cup, we remember the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25 says, "In the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ took the cup after supper, representing his death on the cross, saying, 'This cup is a new testament, forged with my blood. Keep on doing this celebration. And as often as you drink it for the purpose of remembering me.'" So as you enjoy the bread and the cup, enjoy the memory of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as well. Now and always, the Lord's Supper song reminds us to give thanks, this time day by day. That's an awesome song and an awesome musical from Godspell, Day by Day. Today's Bible lesson, the Lord's Supper, Jesus is the suffering servant. One of the things that is really true for me is as I get older, I start understanding God more and more. And, you know, when I think about that, just that title, the suffering servant, and really I start to think about what he really did for us, it's amazing. He died for us. We say those words like it's no big deal. Oh, yeah, he died for us. You know, he paid for our sins. Yeah, but that's such a big deal that somebody would care enough about you to die for you. So when we look back to the cross, we see the Lord Jesus Christ, our suffering servant. And the funny thing about him dying is that he was happy to go die for us. He volunteered to die for us. Imagine that. Imagine that you were going to die and somebody steps up and says, no, let this person live, I'll die instead. That's amazing. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 reminds us to keep on fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Two very important things in there. He's about to go to the cross, which is suffering. And what was his feeling? Joy. And what was his ability? Endurance. And see, when we suffer, that's what we're doing. We're gaining endurance so that we can feel joy at the time when we have to pick up our cross and follow him. Keep on fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the humiliation. It was humiliating for God to take on human form. And he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God the Father. Suffering on our behalf was a joy to the Lord, and suffer he did. His wires weren't crossed. He understood the value of suffering. Well, what is the significance of the servant's suffering? Isaiah chapter 53 says this, who has believed our gospel message? And to whom has the arm, that is the strength of the Lord, been revealed? The Lord's strength has been revealed to everyone. Yet everyone will not take advantage of his suffering. Isaiah 53:2, for the Lord Jesus Christ grew up before God the Father like a tender shoot, like a root out of parched ground. Jesus had no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. There was nothing special about this suffering servant's appearance that would automatically make us attracted to him. When you think about Satan, the opposite was true. He was the anointed cherub who covers. He had bling all over his body. He had a voice like a melodic pipe organ. He was attractive in every single way. He was a brilliant genius. He is not the red suit, pitchfork, pointed tail being that everybody likes to make him to be. He was absolutely gorgeous, absolutely brilliant, absolutely charismatic, attractive, and could lure anyone into doing anything. And so when you think about how brilliant your flesh is, it's sucking you into doing exactly what your flesh wants it to have you do. Think about that brilliant, gorgeous, unbelievable genius, Satan, because the flesh is an extension of him and his charisma. But that was not the description of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was like a root out of parched ground. Imagine what parched ground looks like, a ground that has not been watered. And imagine what a root would look like. It springs up, but it has nothing around it to support it. He did not have an appearance that was attractive to us. Isaiah 53:3, Jesus was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, And like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Think of people that you know who are like that. You know, the people who have the most impact in this world are exactly that way. They are people of sorrows, and they are despised. People don't like them deep down inside and secretly. And they don't esteem them. Only at their funeral. Isaiah 53:4, surely our griefs Jesus himself bore, and our sorrows he carried, yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. We didn't see his suffering as wonderful. As a matter of fact, what he suffered for us, and as the Jews of that time believed that the reason that he experienced all the suffering and sorrows and the grief that he did was because he was cursed. They believed he was being punished for his sins. He was not. He was paying for ours. Isaiah 53:5, but Jesus was pierced through for our transgressions, his hands, his feet, his side. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, chastening, scourging with a whip. And by his scourging, we were healed. Jesus suffered. Jesus served. But whom did he serve? That's the key about this guy. Whom did Jesus serve? He served the rebellious. He served his enemies. He wasn't here for the beautiful people. He was here to seek and save the lost. Isaiah 53:6. All of us like sheep have gone astray. He created us, yet none of us listened to him. Each has turned to his own way, self. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of all of us to fall on him. All of our mistakes have been paid for and corrected by the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how did the Lord suffer? Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, and when it was happening, he didn't open up his mouth. He was not a whiner. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. He was not a complainer, as June said in her song, when you suffer, do not complain. He didn't. And the Lord's suffering was undeserved. Our suffering, necessary to build character. His suffering, completely undeserved. Even Pontius Pilate, the man who led him to the crucifixion, said, I have found that this man has done nothing. Isaiah 53:8. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgressions of my people, to whom was the stroke due? People often talk about how their loved ones died too soon, and how they're mad at God because that happened. Well, the Lord was cut off in his prime, in the middle of his life, 33 years into his life. Yet he considered his death to be timely, because the number of years that he was allotted was the number of years that it took to get the job done. And we must have that same thought, that whenever one of our loved ones dies, it is not that they died too soon. It is that they did their jobs. Isaiah 53:9, his grave was assigned with wicked men, and he was with a rich man, yet he was with a rich man at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Everyone thinks that the Lord Jesus Christ was poor. And even in some of the churches, the people who are officials in the church take a vow of poverty. But that was not the vow the Lord Jesus Christ took. He was not ascetic. He was a rich man. And he was buried in a rich man's grave. Joseph buried him in his grave. The Lord was falsely accused, falsely categorized, yet it did not at all affect his sacrifice for the ones who he loved. Isaiah 53:10. God, but the Lord, and this is a reference to God the Father, was pleased to crush Jesus, putting him to grief. If Jesus would render himself as a guilt offering, God the Father will see his offspring. God the Father will prolong his days in the good pleasure of the Lord. God the Father will prosper his hand. That's a great description of you as a believer in Christ. You're in union with Christ, and all those things apply to you. The suffering and death of his servant was definitely God the Father's will. Yet it was a suffering and a death that led us to life. And he was a rich man. People vied for his garments at the base of the cross. He was accused of being a glutton, drinking the finest wine and eating the finest food. Isaiah 53:11. As a result of the anguish of Jesus' soul, God the Father will see that anguish and be satisfied. Propitiation. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only perfectly satisfactory payment for our sins. And by his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many as Jesus will bear their iniquities. Jesus, paying for our sin, tore down the barrier between God and man, and created the possibility of reconciliation. Isaiah 53:12, therefore I will allot Jesus a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sins of many and interceded for the transgressors. I'm having a tough time with that word today. That's June-esque. The transgressors. Transgressors. What is that song that you sing where you stumble over? A brand new spiritual species. Yeah. Well, transgressors is my word. You always have to have one. So the Lord Jesus Christ, our suffering servant, voluntarily put himself through hell for us and for all of us, rebellious or obedient. And therefore, we are to enjoy suffering as much as he did. Philippians 2:5-8. Keep on having this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus. Let me repeat that because I don't think you heard me. Keep on having this attitude in yourself, which was also the attitude in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2:6. Who, although he existed in the form of God, although he was deity, he did not regard equality with God the Father as a thing to be seized and held. Philippians 2:7. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Philippians 2:8. And being found in appearance as a man, Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the worst death there is, death on a cross. And we enjoy the chance to look back and to see the fruit of suffering, knowing that our suffering will result in the same goodness, thanks to a God who wills to make it so. Amen. When the Lord Jesus Christ promises salvation, it's a guarantee. Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel message. For the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Psalm 62:1, my soul waits in silence for the Lord only. From him is my salvation. Acts 2:21, and it shall be that everyone who calls on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved, whosoever. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord Jesus Christ is not slow about his promise of salvation, as some accuse him of, but is very patient toward all mankind, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to a repentance, a change of mind about having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is his word. In the closing song, "The Word is Alive," June Murphy. Whenever you use your diaphragm, I get goosebumps. Yeah. When you use your throat, I cough up a furball. On that, goosebumps. That was awesome. Thank you. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for sending your Son to the cross to die so that we might live. And thank you for all that means. And thank you for continuing to bring to our remembrance every month what that means. Thanks for getting us to stop once a month to look back at the cross and to realize what the great thing is that happened there, so that when we look at our own lives, we can look at the challenges of it and say, what is man that you are mindful of him? We can say, what is this mountain? I'll say to it, move from here to there, and it'll move, and nothing shall be impossible to me. Thanks for reminding us all the cross means to us, and we pray that you keep that at the forefront of our minds as we go out into our busy lives and our busy and meaningless days, and help us to stop during all the times when we feel confused and hopeless and helpless, and turn to you and your Spirit and take our lead from our Godhead. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming. Thanks for watching. And thanks for listening.